within 4 years' time, two Winter Olympics in Asia, and still, you know, Gary Bettman is not willing to commit the NHL to going over. If he doesn't make a deal, we have the potential for chaos. Absolute, total chaos. And a lot of acrimony between players and owners, where owners, some owners will say, yes, you can go with our blessing, and other owners say, we prohibit you from going. That's chaos.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Game night, Habs and Panthers in Florida. We'll have it for you with Dan Robertson and Sergio Mommesso, along with Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue, and Farad Francis. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. That was agent provocateur Alan Walsh of Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles, normally with us every Thursday between 5:30 and 6. If you haven't heard the news yet, NHL announced no Olympic participation in 2018.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Back home after a cross-country trip from San Diego. How are you, Pierre?
Excellent, Mitch. Good afternoon to you.
Yes, sir. We're going to get to what went down in San Diego in a few minutes. But the news, we knew there had to be some kind of firm decision one way or the other here in terms of, you know, getting the schedule together. There's not going to be any breaks. They're not going. That's it for now. How do you see this?
There's going to be breaks. Last I checked, the league is sending teams to China and sending teams to Switzerland or Sweden. They've chosen what path they want to go down. They're going to have breaks in the season.
Well, I mean an Olympic break. That's
No, I understand, but I'm not. See, I just want people to understand. I'm not a shill for one side or the other because I'm reading stuff now that is actually humorous. For instance, documenting injuries that happen to NHL players in the Olympics, but not documenting injuries that happen to players in the World Cup of Hockey? Please. Please. Have some credibility when you do some of these things.
Well, doesn't it come down... Look, Gord Miller, you know Gord, is a member of the International Ice Hockey Federation Hall of Fame. He has maintained all along, it's obvious how he feels personally. He wants to see the players at the Olympics. But he's been of the belief that the NHL wants the World Cup to be their Olympics, that they want to take this.
That's fine. So then you have to have every country represented. Don't have Connor McDavid playing for a country that doesn't exist. Don't have Austin Matthews playing for a country that doesn't exist. If you really choose to do that, then do it on a worldwide basis. Don't pick and choose who players are going to play for based on the fact you want to have a competitive tournament with enough people so that you can sell tickets, which they didn't do very well at.
Let me read part of Bill Daly. I think the realities of Olympic participation are more apparent to our board now, and I think it just leads to less enthusiasm about the disruption. Quite frankly, we don't see what the benefit is from the game standpoint or the league standpoint with respect to Olympic participation. They're too smart to really believe that, Pierre.
How many TJ Oshie jerseys were sold right after the Sochi shootout?
Well, you would know better than I, but I think that's a rhetorical question.
I would be willing to venture a substantial amount. I'd like to see what licensing agreement dollars came in after the Sochi Olympics. I'd like to see the licensing agreement dollars that came in after the Olympics in Vancouver after Crosby's golden goal. I'd love to see the Canadian merchandising after the Salt Lake City Olympics and see how many sweaters were sold and paraphernalia of NHL teams because of players that played and won gold medals, such as Simon Gagné, Joe Sakic, Jerome McGinley. I don't know what the numbers are, but I would be willing to bet they were pretty substantial.
The injury factor that you alluded to, I'm guessing it's the final paragraph here. Commissioner Bettman, the paragraph of the story on NHL.com, it's not him speaking today. It was when he was speaking at the governor's meeting in December. Having a compressed schedule can make the players more tired, more wear and tear, and the potential for injury is greater. I think after doing five of these, I don't know, fatigue might be a word. Again, if the players, the vast majority of players, want to go, what happens next?
Players are going to go. I will not tell you the players that I've spoken with, but I think you know there are a lot of them. I have not heard one say that they don't want to go. This is going to be, was that Alan Walsh that came on? It sure sounded like Alan.
Yeah, that was Alan from Thursday.
Well, you know what? Alan was on to something. I think chaos is a pretty good description of what could potentially happen. Not hoping for it, not wishing it on anybody, but knowing the amount of players, and he would be probably talking to the same level and realm of player that I have the opportunity to talk to. This is going to be really interesting. It's a heck of a conundrum for the league to figure out, because what's going to happen if the leading scorer in the NHL next year decides that he wants to represent his country?
And with support from his owner. Ovechkin had the support of his owner.
I would tell you this. Some owners are very bullish about going. In fact, I received a call from an NHL ownership group right after the All-Star game, right after, adamant that they were completely and utterly in support of the Olympic movement as an NHL ownership group.
Pierre LeBrun of TSN, of course, and ESPN.com just posted a couple of hours ago a Q&A with Carey Price that preceded this announcement, and he was asked about possible Olympic participation. Carey Price's response was, "I want to represent my country. It was one of my top 10 life experiences so far. I'd love to go again. There's no reason why we shouldn't be going, I don't think."
Well, that's from a player that went on the record. I can assure you, as I've spoken to for almost 18 years now, that every single player that I've talked to, and most of them are stars that would have the opportunity to represent their country, feel the exact same way, would say virtually the exact same thing. Here's where I have I'm almost incredulous at it. I'm almost shocked by it, actually. There's significant financial support for the NHL from Korean-based companies, whether it's LG, whether it's Kia. Bridgestone is a Japanese entity, but it's a major sponsor, and they do not want to see the Korean situation not have NHL players. I have to believe that they want NHL players there. But they're Sony, Samsung, all these different entities that are some way, shape, or form attached to Korea that provide substantial financial remuneration to the league for endorsement. I cannot believe that those people are not angry about this. I would be absolutely shocked if they were not upset about this.
Pierre, I'm sure there are a lot of hockey fans right now in their own world, in their own mind. They go, you know, I don't really care. I'm a Habs fan. I just care about the Habs and all that, and that's played out in every city. But when you realize, like, how could you, on the one hand, look forward? Like, why are they playing these games? Why are they going to play these games in China? What is the purpose of that?
You'd have to ask the league. I don't know.
No, but what do you think the reason is they're going to China to play?
They feel that it's a way, quote-unquote, to grow the game.
So how can you not want to...
The last I checked, the two teams that are going aren't making the playoffs this year.
Uh-huh.
So let's just get to one thing, just so we don't lose track of where you're going with your questions, because I agree with everything you've asked so far in terms of how you've asked it. What's amazing when you look at this whole thing, just keeping a level head on it, the league in 1998 decided to go to Nagano. And the Nagano experience was an unmitigated disaster. The caliber of play was awful. Canada and the United States not making it to a gold medal game was terrible, or even a medal game was terrible. For the optics of it all, for the North American audience. But you just asked the question, so I'm going to present a thing for people to remember. Do you remember what happened after 1998 and Canada did not even play for a medal? Do you remember what happened?
Well, as someone who hosted a show at the time, I remember we felt like it was the lowest point in the history of Canadian
people
hockey.
People didn't care to the point that they were demanding that they have parliamentary hearings.
That's right. To
That's
examine.
How much people didn't care.
Right.
So I don't buy that they don't care. That's a bunch of malarkey. I did the gold medal game with Chris Cuthbert in 2010 in Vancouver. 26 million people 26 million watched. Anybody that was in Vancouver knows people didn't care. Ask the police if people didn't care.
So let me read you the statement. I finally found the statement. And then we'll move on. You can pick up on the statement, then we'll move on. We have previously made clear that while the overwhelming majority of our clubs are adamantly opposed to disrupting the 2017-18 NHL season for purposes of accommodating Olympic participation by some NHL players, we were open to hearing from any of the other parties who might have an interest in the issue as to reasons the Board of Governors might be interested in reevaluating their strongly held views on the subject. A number of months have now passed and no meaningful dialogue has materialized. Instead, the IOC has now expressed the position the NHL's participation in Beijing in 2022 is conditioned on our participation in South Korea in 2018. And the NHLPA has now publicly confirmed that it has no interest or intention of engaging in any discussion that might make Olympic participation more attractive to the clubs. As a result, and in an effort to create clarity among conflicting reports and erroneous speculation, this will confirm our intention to proceed with finalizing our 2017-18 regular season schedule without any break to accommodate the Olympic Winter Games. We now consider the matter officially closed. Is it?
I don't know. I just take them at their word. So they say it's closed. I feel terrible for the young people out there that never really had a chance to experience 2010. 2010 was a magical moment. After the disaster of 98, 2002 was an amazing moment. Steve Yzerman playing on one leg, Mario Lemieux with maybe one of the greatest video montages ever, especially when he allowed the puck to go through his legs to Paul Kariya, and just a spectacularly creative play. The play of Simon Gagné, Joe Sakic, Jerome McGinley, that line. Jerome McGinley down to Calgary from Edmonton in the summer after an injury in the pre-selection camp, the orientation camp, driving him in a pickup truck so that he could participate. That's how much players don't care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and this whole injury possibility is so bogus, right? Because if that's the case, they will never play
on Aaron Ekblad, and he wasn't even playing for his country. What country was Aaron Ekblad playing for at the World Cup?
Because under that...
No, what country? Do you know the name of that
country?
Yeah,
the under-25s.
No, that's a new country in the world. Find it on the map.
Okay, so again, if they're so concerned about injuries, there'll never be another ever, any kind, World Cup, Olympics, any kind of exhibition. There'll never be an international game of meaning involving NHL players ever again.
How many preseason games do we play? How many preseason games do we play?
Too many.
Okay. But we're worried about injuries.
Which takes us to Joe Thornton, Pierre. They're holding their breath in San Jose. That looked terrible when he left the ice, on the ice, the injury, and how he tried. He couldn't even make it to the
dressing room. That didn't look good at all. And that, for those that probably most people saw it, but if you haven't seen it, there was no malicious intent from anybody. That was just a bad luck play. Joe was going to engage in the corner, and it was just an awkward collision. It did not look good for the lower part of his body. There's no question about that. Very, very, very awkward.
And the Ottawa Senators are in Detroit tonight, and much like, now maybe they respond the way the Bruins did, because it wasn't that long ago we were talking about how the Bruins are just like literally hanging on to a playoff spot, and then they just, when they had to, they kicked it into another gear, winning in Chicago yesterday. I think they've won 5 in a row now.
Well, they lost 4 in a row. Now they've lost 5. No, now they've won 5 in a row, excuse me. So, yeah, no, they've turned it around. But I don't know with Ottawa. This is precarious because of Mark Methot being out, because of Erik Karlsson being out, because of Cody Ceci being out. That's three of your top six. That's troublesome. They've got a lot of forwards who are in major offensive slumps. That's troublesome. The fact that they're going to give Colin White an opportunity to play tonight, that's huge news. He's a tremendous young player. I've been telling you about him for a couple of years now. He's going to get his opportunity tonight, and I hope he does well. He should do well. He's a very capable player. This is an interesting time for the Senators, and I like their team a lot, but injuries have clearly not helped them a lot.
So we spoke about the Thornton injury and now the Senators' injuries. Pierre, what about John Tavares in that game against the Devils behind the net? Cal Clutterbuck ripped the ice at the Barclays Center, saying the injury happened because of the ice at that arena specifically. Just how did you see that?
Well, I've done games there. It's not the best ice surface in the world. I think most people in the league would admit that it's not a very good ice surface. The league was bullish on the team moving there. They're concerned about injuries, but they were bullish on the team moving there. So I don't know. I mean, I feel terrible for John, for the Islanders. But I, that's, you know, them winning yesterday was gigantic for them, beating Buffalo. They're still alive and breathing in the race, but it's not going to be easy for them. They got to hope that Ottawa can knock, or that Detroit can knock Ottawa off. They play them twice, I think, so they got to hope that Detroit can help them out, but it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all.
I can't help but wonder. Halak made 35 saves yesterday, if they're kicking themselves that they didn't bring him back sooner.
That, I don't know. I just don't know. The last Islander game I did was against the Rangers. They won the game. They weren't good until the third period. There's a lot of good stories there, though. Andrew Loud, second half of the year, the way Anders Lee has played, I mean, he's been fantastic for them. You know, the Josh Bailey, I think, has had a tremendous bounce back. Clutterbuck and Cizikas, when healthy, have been very good, even though they don't have Matt Martin. You know, not having Johnny Boychuk really set them back, too. That hasn't been brought up enough. So they've had a stable's worth of injury, and Dougie Wade, I think, has done a tremendous job motivating that group.
And the Kings were officially eliminated yesterday, yep. Pierre. Where do they go? Do you think we see a complete revamping there, a different philosophy, different people? How do you see them recovering from this?
If you remember at the beginning of the year, I've kind of been hinting at this since October, I think, with you.
Too slow.
On Los Angeles, because I could see that they just didn't have the tempo in their game. And they had a lot of fatigued guys, and a lot of that is just because of the amount of hockey that they've played. Olympics, World Cup, Stanley Cup Finals, you know, all these different. One year having to play all those game sevens. I mean, that was unbelievable what they were able to do. So most of their core is just broken down. They're not getting any younger. The quick injury really set them back. So I would imagine that they're going to have to do some retooling. And it's not that they haven't drafted well. Their scouts are still really good. Mark Gennetti and Mike Fuda, their chief scouts, do a great job. The problem is they've been just disposing of picks to try to win their cups, and they've done that. They've won their cups, but they've been moving around a lot of assets to try to do that, and now they don't have anything left.
Well, the Flyers, another team that was officially eliminated, and today Ron Hextall was, I mean, the general manager of the World Championship team for Canada. He's going to be helped out by Sean Burke and Larry Carrière.
Yeah, I'm really happy for Larry. This is a nice pat on the back for Larry. Sean's been working at it now a little bit, so this is a good opportunity. And I think he's part of a legacy group with Hockey Canada, which I think is really good that they do that, bring him back. And when he was a player, he was MVP of the Izvestia Cup when that tournament really mattered, when he played for Team Canada. So I'm happy for Sean. I had the privilege of coaching Sean earlier in his career, and I really enjoyed that. And for Ronnie, it's a great opportunity. I'm sure he'd rather be in the playoffs, but I would tell you this. There are three teams in the East you got to look out for going forward. Tampa, Boston, you're already starting to see some of their young guys, and Philadelphia. And I know that I've been talking about Philadelphia and Boston for a while, but I did a major breakdown of Tampa and a lot of the other teams, and those are the three teams that really stand out in the Eastern Conference in terms of players that are outside the NHL that have a chance to come into the NHL and really make a difference.
Pittsburgh beat Carolina. Columbus, for the first time all year, they've lost three in a row. They got beat by Washington again.
Yep.
Is Pittsburgh going to get healthy enough at playoff time?
That's a really good question. I was there last week to do their game with Chicago, Mitch, and you know, you hope, but everybody just guarding injury situations at this time. The Letang one is really funky to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I understand Mata. I understand Daly. Those are bone issues that everybody kind of knew. But the Letang one, very strange. Very strange. Because he practiced before the outdoor game in Pittsburgh, before the Stadium Series game. And I thought he was a go to play in the game. And he has not played since the game before. So before the outdoor game, that's a long time ago. That's almost 18 games ago. That's really weird.
Would you be concerned if you were a Habs fan that Shea Weber was sent home and will be reevaluated for a lower body injury?
I would be, but I liked what the Canadiens did. It's a time of the year where most teams don't want to be transparent, but I think if you have a guy that's hurt, there's no trade deadline to worry about, so you're not going to make your team better that way. Get the guy home, get him aggressive rehabilitation, and go forward from there. You're not going to be able to hide Shea Weber. He's going to get back to Montreal from South Florida somehow, some way, whether it's on a private plane or a commercial aircraft. He's not going to drive back. So people are going to see him. They're going to want to know why. Where is he? People that travel with the team. So just be transparent about it.
Yeah.
I think they handled it really well. I really do.
And I think an 8-point lead in the division is also, well, if you think about the timing,
that.
Right?
They earned that. And one of the ways they did it, they beat Ottawa three times. When they were right on the precipice of falling out of it and being in trouble, they stood up and delivered. And the way they delivered, they beat Ottawa three times in 7 days.
And Charlie Lindgren gets his second NHL start tonight for the Habs.
Good opportunity. Again, they're managing their assets now. Smart. Florida, I think everybody knows, is done. They might try to put something on here to win some home games, but good opportunity. And I don't see the reason to play Carey now, especially if you're going to play the Rangers. I'd want Carey Price as fresh as possible.
Last night about 7:30, I got an email. Justine and her boat. And I take a look at the picture, and there's, what, 10 of them? They won gold in San Diego. Proud father. Talk Monday. McGuire. Congratulations. Wow.
Yeah, I wish I had been there. It was an awesome phone call, though. Gordon Miller could tell you. We were in the car right after doing the Chicago game yesterday, and the phone rang. So I picked it up, and I hear this crying on the other end. It's my wife. I go, what happened? What's wrong? She goes, Justine's boat won. It was unbelievable. So I was like, oh, that's good. Not easy for Eastern boats to go out west in California and race the top boats out west and beat them. So it was kind of neat.
So what kind of team is this?
Oh, that's Saugatuck Boat Club. So they row eight. So you actually see 10 young ladies in the picture. The coxswain's the little one in the middle,
right,
holding the big trophy.
Yeah.
And then Justine's the third one from the right.
Wow. So, again, you're a lucky dude.
You know what's amazing, though? Do you notice how all the young ladies are pretty much built the same? They're all tall with really long extremities.
Except for one.
The little coxswain?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the little, you know, she can't be very heavy. She sits in the back and she screams. She's got big, she's got a big voice, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool sport. It's something I would never want to do. It's just too physically demanding. It's just, it's savage how they train, but they love it, so.
Once again, the NHL announcing no Olympics. The matter is closed, according to a statement they released late this afternoon. And in many ways, this is just starting. This discussion is just starting. And we'll talk more tomorrow.
It's the injuries.
Yeah. Thanks, Pierre.
See you, Mitch.